I praise you, Jesus. They tell me that on Broadway productions, that if you go into the theater, I've never been there, I have to go on what they tell me, but if you go into the theater and watch the production, that if you enjoyed what you saw, that you would give a round of applause for the actors and actresses. If you thoroughly enjoyed what they'd done and you could feel their emotion, then you would applause until they would return to the stage and take what they call a curtain call. I was reading in Reader's Digest not too long ago, and I'm not going to preach from Reader's Digest, everybody gets worried, but I was reading where a certain production had brought 8 curtain calls for a particular actor. He would go back behind the stage, they would applause until he would return, take a bow, and go back 8 times. He came to the stage, took a bow, they applauded. It reminded me, and some folks call our church in Wellston, Ohio, they call us a hand-clapping church. We love to worship the Lord. But they tell me in the scripture that the greatest production that was ever given, it was not an act. It was for my soul. Happened when Jesus Christ hung on Calvary. And on that day, no one applauded. There was no one to stand to their feet and say, "Thank you, Jesus." But now, 2,000 years later, there's a church that's been redeemed by His blood. And don't tell us we don't have a right to stand to our feet and applaud our Jesus. For He's redeemed us by His blood. Oh, let's give the Lord a good praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, let's give Him a good praise. I praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Hallelujah. I feel the Spirit of the Lord in this place tonight. I believe that we're about to be entertained by the Shekinah glory of the Almighty God. If you have your Bibles, would turn with me to the book of Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. I would like to say while you're turning there that it is a privilege of mine to be standing here tonight to worship the Lord with you and to preach the Word of God. I will say this to you tonight without reservation, that I come to you tonight with a word from the Lord. I did not come tonight to entertain, and I guarantee you I will not tickle ears. Some folks said, "Are you nervous?" Well, sure I'm nervous. There's pastors here and preachers. I'm not used to preaching to these kind of folks. But we have a good amount of folks that love the Lord. We're going to love God together. But I'd like to give special honor tonight to the pastor of this church for allowing us to be here, for his associate, Brother Westmoreland, and also our general superintendent, Brother Don Johnson, who has preached in our local assembly, and we love him. And thank you for that, Brother Johnson. I tell him that every time I see him, our people fell in love with him. And also the district superintendent for this district, Brother Coons, good, Brother Dwight Cook. Lord bless all of you, all the pastors, ministers. We love the Lord, saints of God. Luke chapter 4, I'm not used to doing those kind of things. Luke chapter 4, verse 18. We're going to read 2 verses of scripture there. I'm going to preach tonight. I feel the Lord in this place. Luke chapter 4, verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. I would like for you to turn back to Luke chapter 3 and just hold that. I'm not going to read it at this point, but I will in a few minutes. I'm going to preach tonight for your consideration on anointed to minister. I need an anointing tonight. My church needs me to get an anointing tonight, that I can go back and meet needs that are represented every night they come to church. I want you, if you can be honest with me and honest with the Lord tonight, I want us to reach our hands to heaven and say, "Lord, I need a fresh anointing. I feel the hand of the Lord in this place. Lord, I need you. I need you. I need you. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Oh, I feel something deep happening right now. Hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost. Somebody's hungry for an anointing tonight. Somebody's hungry for an anointing tonight. I feel God's going to do it. Praise God. Praise God. You may be seated. Lord bless you. Thank you for standing. Anointed to minister. There are principles that have been formed to describe certain insatiable qualities and human traits that you know. Some of these would be called things that we recognize. Birds of a feather flock together. Another one would be opposites attract. And there are others, but one that I want to spotlight tonight is an old basic Sigmund Freud theory, and it's called the pleasure-pain principle, or perhaps more commonly known as profit-loss. The theory or the idea behind this principle is simply this, that if you have something to gain that you really want, then you will make the maximum effort to receive that which you need. However, if you feel that it's going to cost you too much, you will not exert the effort that is needed to get that. The Bible has this in its pages when the theory or the scripture said, what would a man give if he could gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What would it profit him? In Luke chapter 4 and verse 18, it does not say this. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the rich. He has sent me to heal the healthy hearted, to preach deliverance to the free, the recovering of sight to those that already have their sight, or to set at liberty them that are well. No, Luke chapter 4 and verse 18 goes against the very human nature that we have. For the crux of this verse is for us to do things for other people without any thought of what it will cost me. My God, I need the anointing. We must get to a place that we as preachers, we as pastors, we as evangelists, we don't measure someone's worth on how much time it's going to cost me, or how many hours of counseling it's going to cost me, or how many times of prayer it's going to cost me. But God, I need an anointing that ministers to people that have a need in their life. Oh, God, I feel the Holy Ghost. Now, Luke was not a deep writer concerning the deity of Jesus. We must understand that there were four Gospels. Each four of these represented one of the manners in which Jesus presented Himself as a preacher. We find that Matthew presented Him as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Mark presented Him as the ox. Luke presented Him as the man, while John presented Him as the eagle. When you look at Luke's writings, you'll find that he's not a deep man concerning the deity of Jesus. He portrayed Jesus as the Son of Man. We know that Luke also wrote the book of Acts. Now let me lay a foundation here. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 22, listen to how Luke describes Him. You men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man, approved of God among you. Acts chapter 10 verse 38 says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. When we see Luke's portrayal of Jesus Christ, knowing that He is God robed in flesh, yet Luke gave us an in-depth look at the human side of Jesus Christ. Now I want you to look where I told you to turn in Luke chapter 3, verses 21 and 22. Now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon Him. And a voice came from heaven which said, Thou art my beloved Son, in Thee I am well pleased.
We sometimes shy away from those kind of scriptures, but there's nothing to shy away from here. We know that Jesus Christ was God robed in flesh. But in Luke chapter 3, 21 and 22, it shows a distinction between the humanity of our Lord and the deity of the Spirit. You must understand that while Jesus was God robed in flesh, He was not one-third man. He was not one-half man. He was not two-third man. He was all man as well as all God. As God, He was the water of life. As God, He was the bread of life. As God, He was the strength. As God, He was the comforter. But as a man, He was thirsty. As a man, He was hungry. As a man, He grew tired. As a man, He wept bitter tears. That did not take away from His deity, but it showed Him to us as He was a man that was tried in all points like we are. Now you must understand where I'm coming from. He had the full range of human trials. He had the full range of human emotions. If He had overcome all things simply because He was God, that wouldn't have meant anything to me. If He had overcome His temptations because He was omnipotent, that wouldn't have done anything for me. If He would have conquered because He was omniscient, that would not have meant anything to me. But He condescended Himself. He brought Himself down to a level like I am, so that when He overcome, He let me know by example that if I'm to overcome, I must overcome by the Spirit. He reduced Himself completely to become a man like I am, so that He could live like I do, and He could be tempted like I am, and so He could overcome like I must overcome. And I've come to preach to you tonight that the only way we'll overcome is not by the flesh, it's by the Spirit. Somebody praise Him right now. Hallelujah. I'm laying a foundation still. Hang with me. Now here stands Jesus in the Jordan River. The Spirit of the Lord descends upon Him to anoint Him as prophet, priest, and king. So now we open up in Luke chapter 4, verse 1. It says that in Luke chapter 4, verse 1, here we think when we get the anointing that we're going to step into the biggest church in America and be able to preach the grandest sermons. But I'm going to say something right here. We were not called to deliver sermons. We were called to deliver people. Luke chapter 4, verse 1. Jesus has been anointed in Luke 3. And now we think He's going to go to the biggest church or the biggest synagogue. Oh no, the Bible says in 4 and 1 that He was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Wayman's version of the Bible says He was driven by the Spirit into the wilderness. I've come to preach to you tonight that the anointing means more than preaching conferences. It means more than standing someplace with your name in bright lights. It means getting down where people live and preaching to them with the anointing of the Holy Ghost. The wilderness is not a place to be. It's not a good place. It's not fun. There you'll find it's barren. The wild beasts are in the wilderness. It's hard in the wilderness. It's dry in the wilderness. But perhaps the greatest temptation of all is the Bible says the devil roams in dry places. It's in the wilderness that you'll meet temptations from the enemy. But I want to say this to you tonight. You cannot have a Luke 4:18 until first you've been led into a wilderness. What are we? I'll have anything, God, but a wilderness. I'll preach big churches, but don't give me the wilderness. But it's in the wilderness is where Jesus confronted His humanity. In that classic struggle between Him and Satan, the temptations of the wilderness were designed that Jesus would first of all be a conqueror in private before He became a conqueror in public. I submit humbly to you tonight, as Jesus Christ is our best example, that before you can ever expect to meet your Goliaths, and before you can ever expect to conquer the great victories in public, you must find a wilderness and there confront and conquer this old flesh that seems to crop up and stop the anointing of the Holy Ghost. We need the wilderness so we can stand with the anointing. It goes against us. We don't want wilderness experiences. You know why? Because our flesh is prideful and it does not want to be put down. Our flesh doesn't want to be said, you're no good and you've got a fault here and a fault there. But I submit to you tonight that until I get to a wilderness and meet the devil face to face and put my flesh down and realize it's only by the Spirit, I can't expect to stand in front of people and let them know Jesus has got the answer for you unless, first of all, I've been to the wilderness. Let me contrast two men for you tonight. Samson, who lost the anointing. What a tragic story. Here we are as anointed of God. Samson met a young lady by the name of Delilah. Delilah began to ask him, where's your strength? The world wants to know where our strength is. I'm going to preach a little bit in a minute about where our strength is. Our strength isn't in good music, though I love it. Our strength comes from something else. Samson, where's your strength come from? Well, if you bind me with 7 cords, I'll lose it. They bind him. He didn't lose it. Shook himself as he did before, strong as ever. If you bind me with ropes that have never been around a man, that'll take away my strength. Shook himself, busted the ropes, walked out. He was as good as he ever was. But now he's starting to get close to his strength. Weave my hair into 7 locks, and I'll lose my strength to come as any other man. Weaved his hair. Shook himself, walked out, was as strong as ever. But then he said, I've been a Nazarite since birth, and scissors have never touched my hair. And if you cut my hair, I lose my strength. The Bible says that when she cut his hair, said the Philistines be upon you, that he shook himself as in times past. And the most tragic verse in Scripture says this, for he wist not that the Lord had departed. His anointing was gone. And I come to tell you tonight, there's still a lot of apostolics that are shaking like they used to, but they've lost the power that made them shake. What am I preaching tonight? I've got to leave this conference not the same person I was when I came. But I got to find a place of anointing someplace and allow the fresh anointing of God to touch me again so that I can walk into my pulpit Sunday morning and preach to people that have needs. They're not there to get sermonized. They're there to get delivered. Somebody praise Him right now. I feel the anointing of the Lord. Let me contrast Samson with a man by the name of David. We want to rejoice at David's victory of Goliath. Took his sling, 5 stones, whipped it out, hit that giant between the eyeballs, went up, cut his head off, stood with his foot on his chest, and said, look how great a victor that I am. But it didn't start there. David would tell you it started way off on a hill where nobody else could see me. There was nobody there to applaud. Nobody there to tell me how great I was. Just a bunch of sheep. But they needed somebody to protect them. They needed somebody to feed them. And a lion began to come in. And David said the anointing was there. And all the sheep looking around, nobody. The sheep couldn't say thank you, David. The sheep couldn't show their appreciation to David. But David's anointing was not so people could applaud. David's anointing was so that he could protect and serve. I slew the lion with no praise, no thanks, but because somebody needed me. And I'm telling you tonight that the wilderness will gain you no applause. The wilderness, no one will pat you on the back and say, look how good you're doing. But it's at the wilderness you confront your greatest enemy, and that is your flesh. And once you conquer the flesh, you too will come out of the wilderness anointed of God, ready and able to minister.
I went and took the church in Wellston. I'm not going to shout my own praises tonight. I took the church in Wellston a few years ago. Not very many people there then. Thank the Lord we've been able to get a new sanctuary. Good things are happening. Thank God for that. But I strutted into Wellston. I was one big time evangelist. I preached 4-week revivals, 6-week revivals, 3-month revivals. I was booked up a year and a half. I was something else. I evangelized, not in this organization, but in a sister organization. I was something else. Man, I come strutting into Wellston and said, I'm going to turn this place upside down through my own ability. I got it together. I stood in the pulpit one night at the first floor. Right before I went to the pulpit, the Lord struck me down. I lay on my side on the platform with about 40 people. That's all we had at that point. About 40 people looking at me like the pastors went crazy. But I lay on my side in a fetal position. And for over an hour, I bawled my eyes. Snot ran out of my nose. I slobbered. I didn't care. But I lay there in a fetal position and God poured my soul out like water. And the Lord let me know right then and there, you can't do it, bub. And unless I lay my anointing on you, you won't meet one person's need. And I'm telling you tonight, I'm preaching to pastors and preachers and saints, but I preach to you as a man that's poured out before God like water on carpet. And I'm telling you that unless we have an anointing from God, we're no better than any other thing that calls itself a club. We need God to pour His anointing on us until we quit talking about the power and we start demonstrating the power. We need the anointing of God so deep that we quit telling people we got the power and we start showing them the power. I'm preaching to you, it's time we quit talking about being anointed. And we get anointed.
I was going to try to rush my way through this. I hope it's all right. I didn't ask the pastor. I'm sorry if it's not.
I'm not going to move past here. I feel God doing something. It was at that point that God raised me up and said, I put my anointing on you. You're going to do it not through yourself, but you're going to do it through my power. That thank God that now we've got a new sanctuary. And thank God now that when I preach on Sunday night, it's not empty like it used to be. But folding chairs are sitting out even in the new sanctuary. And we're getting ready to plant on a new sanctuary. Thank God for that. It was because I had to be poured out. I had to realize it's not you. It's not your strength. It's not your ability. It's not your, quote, charisma. It's going to take an anointing from God Almighty. And I'm telling you tonight, the wilderness doesn't bring applause. The wilderness doesn't bring accolades. The wilderness doesn't bring great oratory, but it brings a power from God that people recognize and say, I must be anointed. Jesus was tested as to food and on the question of gaining the whole world. And wasn't this really what He wanted? Was to gain the world? He wanted to bring all the kingdoms of the world into His kingdom. He wanted to bring a gospel to everybody. But you see, that Jesus realized in the wilderness there was no shortcut to the anointing. He was tested as to food. That was what His flesh wanted. But He realized the flesh wasn't the way to get the anointing. And then the devil said, hey, let's make a big spectacular event out of this and show everybody right now how much power you got. Go to the pinnacle of the temple and throw yourself off. Watch all Jerusalem stand in awe as angels come by and catch you and gently set you down on the ground. And oh, what a display that would have been. But Jesus looked at the devil and said, I ask nothing from you and I'll give nothing to you. If it's going to be done, it's going to be done by the Spirit and not by my flesh. And when Jesus walked out of the wilderness and Luke 4:18 was written, He walked out of there, His flesh was conquered. He didn't walk out in the flesh. He walked out in the Spirit. Somebody shout hallelujah.
There are many anointed people who have been destroyed because they have turned the anointing of God into personal gain and glory. Their good has become bad. But Jesus underwent all the tests in the barren land: food, success, position, power, and authority. He refused them, saying, "You're only going to worship the Lord thy God, and He alone will you worship." The Bible tells us that the people who know the Lord shall be strong and do great exploits. And I'm going to tell you tonight that we have got to move out of the comfort zone and impact the harvest. We will never impact the harvest as long as we're sitting back in the comfort zone. The church is a sleeping giant that once awakened will move forward with power, confirming the word with signs following. God in prophecy has matched this church with this time in prophecy. And I'm telling you something, He designed it so that we wouldn't lose one ounce of the fire, but instead that the latter church would be greater than the former church. I must admit to you tonight that I'm still looking for the day that we become the greater glory and we become the greater rain. And I'm also here to tell you, it'll never happen until we get it in our mind that it's not by me, but it's by His Spirit, and it's by His anointing, and it's by His power. We want to know, how can we have a great church? I will preach to you now. We want to know, how can we have a great church? I'll tell you how we have a great church. It's not by mimicking the charismatics. It's not by mimicking programs that come out of other organizations. It'll come when we pray the fire down and we get the fire inside of us so strong that our saints feel it, that our neighbors feel it, that our cities feel it. We want to know how to have it. Maybe we better look back at the early church. Their secret, their power, and their force was nothing but the Holy Ghost. They did not depend on drums. They did not depend on pianos. They did not depend on organs. They did not depend on the tambourine. What did they depend on? They depended on God descending, the Holy Ghost falling, and the Holy Ghost doing the work. And I'm telling you tonight that if one time we ever start depending on drums, or we start depending on the organ or the piano, we've lost our anointing. We got to get back to where we are doing it by the power of the Holy Ghost. Shadows, handkerchiefs, aprons healed more in their day than the hospitals. The men were ignorant, unlearned. They had no social, no political, no ecclesiastical prestige. But one thing you had to say of those men, they had been with Jesus. You say, what about Peter? There was something that had to happen to him before Acts 2:38. And that was, he had a wilderness experience. But when he came out of there, he came out preaching, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." I want to tell you, somebody says, well, what about Paul? He was a Sanhedrin. He was real sophisticated. Sat at the feet of Gamaliel. But when he came out of the wilderness, he began to write these words: "I don't come to you with enticing words of man's wisdom, but I come to you with power and a demonstration of the Holy Ghost." I'm preaching to you, maybe we need to get rid of the fancy words and get some more of the power. Get some more of the power. Get some more of the power. Glory of the latter house shall be greater than the former. Former rain is moderate compared to the latter. What was their secret? The Holy Ghost. They were dependent on the Holy Ghost. Oh God. Acts exhortation was constantly be filled with the Holy Ghost. This thing was born in the fire. Talent is beautiful, but it's not mandatory. But the anointing is not optional. The anointing is mandatory. Dr. A.J. Gordon
at the Louisville Symposium on the Holy Ghost made this statement. If you depend on organization, you'll get what organization can give you. If you depend on eloquence, you'll get what eloquence can give you. But if you depend on the Holy Ghost, you'll get what the Holy Ghost can give you. I want to depend on the Holy Ghost. Oh, I pray it right now. Fall on us right now. I'm tired of it sprinkling. I'm tired of a drop here and there. I want the windows to open and for the Holy Ghost to be poured out on this place right now. Somebody praise Him. Rituals is not apple. The church that's still got an unction from the Holy Ghost. I'm preaching to you, it should be right here. There should be so much Holy Ghost right now that there's healing right now, that people are delivered right now. Where is it? It needs to be right here. Maybe our concentration needs to be more on Victory Center than daycare centers. I'm not here to offend. I'm just preaching my heart to you tonight. We preach and taught separation by standards. I believe in standards. But maybe we need to be separated by more than standards. We should be separated by demonstration. We've got problems, folks. I'll tell you what some of the problems are. Now, this is just my experience. I'm not reflecting. I'm preaching to you from what God's given us. We've got weak preachers preaching weak sermons. They're homiletical, analytical, hermeneutical, clever, socially acceptable, but they produce no power. We've delved into mental excursions, into philosophical discourses, and it's produced empty heads, empty hearts, and empty altars. And I'm preaching to you tonight, maybe it's time we get back and try the original, and that is, let's move with anointing. We need doctrinal proof. See, when Jesus came out of the wilderness, now I'm going to preach to you. He came out of the wilderness. He was anointed by the Spirit to minister now. But it didn't land him in the big synagogues. He didn't go to the fancy churches. He didn't preach to the rich people that could give him a lot of money, so that he could build a great edifice. No, he was anointed to preach the gospel. Some would say there's not much to gain in that, the loss is good. Look at all the energy, the time, the money, just to get a few folks. They're poor things. But Jesus never preached to get something. He preached to give. He sent me to heal the most miserable people on the earth. That's the brokenhearted. What did the anointing do for Jesus? Nothing. The anointing was for the poor. The anointing was so they could be poured out and ministered to others. It was for the brokenhearted, for the captives, for the blind. It was for the bruised. Can I preach to us real sincerely right now? I know this isn't going to give me any points, what I preach tonight, but I preach with you my heart. Perhaps we become guardians of what we have. I believe in preserving doctrinal integrity. I believe this message is everything that's within me. But maybe we've got to hold the fort attitude now. Let's just wait on Jesus to come, keep what we got. What about those that are dying lost? Oh God, we close the walls. They look at what we've got. God, Jesus said, we got all the options. We've got good standards. Look at what we have. And somebody standing on the outside. somebody that's anointed, that's willing to step out of the floor and say, I'm here to minister. I see tears flowing down people's cheeks right now. I see ministers with big tears flowing down their face. God got a hold of me in my motel this afternoon. I wanted to preach something that people would shout on. But God said, no, I want them to leave with an anointing. I know what I'm preaching because I know what I've got. I've got enough people in the church now to give me a good living. I get enough money to buy a nice car and live in a nice house. And it would be easy to pull the walls around and say, let's just hang on with what we got. We know what the problems are here. What about that brokenhearted one that walks into a pew and sets down tears in their eyes saying, I need a Jesus that really cares. And if we can't show them that with anointing, we're losing our calling. We need some ministers with more than a hold the fort attitude, but with a Daniel Boone attitude that says there's new frontiers to conquer. Let me get out here where the demon possessed are delivered. Let me get out here where the blind are seeing. Let me get out here in some new territory where people are hurting. Is it popular, is it? People don't like what I'm preaching tonight. I can't help it. I'm under a mandate from God. Need tonight more than anything, more than a Denny's or more than a Bob Evans, I need a touch of anointing. Oh God, I told the Lord today in my motel, I'm not going to preach to the whole group. To let me get somebody. I see people right now with tears. I want right now somebody that's honest with God. Somebody knows. Listen, folks, we all got human emotions. We all like the good life. We all like to be able to have a little bit of pride. Be able to stand up with a compliment, somebody pat us on the back and say, you're doing a good job. I like that. I think every once in a while you need that encouragement. Somebody say, hey, I love you. But the wilderness don't bring that. The wilderness confronts your greatest time. That would stop the progress of God. We want churches that are run through. I don't begrudge anybody that's got bigger churches than me. Thank God they do. We can get part of that cycle of trying to outdo one another. And we'll get out of the will of God. You need to find your place in the body of Christ. That's another message. You need to find your place in the body of Christ and do that calling. That makes the body perfect. That's something else. We need an anointing. I see people here with tears flowing down their cheeks. The Lord spoke to me today in prayer. You can believe this if you want to. Say it under the direction of the Holy Ghost. The Lord spoke to me in my motel room today and said, there are pastors here on the verge of giving up. I know the truth. The preacher's here that says, I'm going to fire. The Lord said, I'll be here tonight in the morning. But they got to be willing to walk in the wilderness. Break your pride and let God break those things that would hinder the anointing. You'll leave this conference anointed of the Holy Ghost. And when you stand in your city next week, you'll be able to say, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the blind. He sent me to the brokenhearted. Story is said of a greenhorn working for a rancher.
manager told him to move a group of cattle into another field. The grass was green, a lot to eat. He moved them. A couple days later, the rancher asked him, did you get the job done? He said, yes, sir. He said, let me ask you something. Did you drive those cattle on out into the field? Or did you just put them in the gate and close the gate? He said, well, I just put them in the gate and close it. The rancher said, we better get over there. We're about to die. They went over to the gate. And every one of those cattle were milling right around the gate. Tongues hanging out. Thirsty. Churned up the grass right there by the gate. And the rancher said, son, these cattle won't venture out into new areas. They've never been out there before. You've got to drive them out there. He said, they would have died a little bit later on, but they would have died right here by this gate with all that grass. I'm telling you tonight, there's a lot more to this than being filled with the Holy Ghost. We view the Holy Ghost as an end, and yet God has given it to us at the beginning. I'm saying tonight, it's time to move beyond the gate, get into an area of anointing, into which we really minister to people that hurt. Folks, I see broken hearted people that are so broken in their spirit. I sense in my spirit a hunger for anointing right now. Is there anybody that will join me right now and say, I'm hungry? Thirsty for anointing. I'm going to preach to somebody this weekend and it can't be a dry sermon. I need to deliver somebody. We had a man come in our church the other day, and I close with this. His wife had been in church since 1954 and had prayed for him to come in since 1954, 37 years. This man was so turned off against the Holy Ghost, against God, that he had never been inside of a church. 1954. He was so against church that he did not even go to his own children or grandchildren's weddings. He would not step inside a church door. He came last Easter, was his first Sunday that he ever came. Or a cracker. Elderly gentleman, short stature, walking in on Easter. My amazement, he was back the next Sunday morning. He came for a few Sunday mornings, and then started coming on Sunday night. We made a move to the altar. Started coming on Tuesday night. One night, how God pulled up. He broke with the tears of that hard. 37 years of prayer brought for his salvation. Never walked inside of a church door and run into an altar. Same night he was baptized in Jesus' name. He came out of the water, he could not speak to another. Someone asked him, said, Cora, what was the difference? I like how eloquent he preached. He didn't say, boy, he had big words. Stuff. How do you say that the heart apostolic church is not built on eloquent words? It's built on men in pulpits with anointing that's willing to minister to hurting people. I'm done tonight. I feel like there's people that want to be broken. I've preached a lot to ministry. I see saints with tears going down their cheeks. You're going to touch somebody. You're going to touch somebody. This is what I'm going to do tonight. I'm not fancy. But I'm going to ask people that really are hungry for this kind of anointing, that want to stand in pulpits on Sunday with the power of God flowing through you, that you can reach hurting people. Pastors' wives that want anointing. Saints of God, right now, just stand in prayer. Tears are flowing. People are being broken.
Oh, God, I need to be anointed to minister. Saints of God, praying, crying out to God. The word of the Lord has pricked our hearts tonight. I see evangelists that are broken. Pastors that are broken. I'm saying tonight that this is the night we need to fall on our faces before God. This is the night that we need to cry tears and say, Lord, if it takes being led into the wilderness, lead me, Lord. If it takes a wilderness experience, God, I'm willing. That's it, Pastor. Cry out to God. That's it, friend. Pour yourself out before the Lord. It's not by might, nor yet by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Cry out to God. Pastor's wife, that's beautiful. Evangelist's wife, that's beautiful. We need to leave with anointing. We need to leave with anointing. We need to leave with anointing.